It is 2025, and this is the first episode of the year for the Learn English podcast, the podcast that teaches English in context so you can learn naturally. It is January, it is a new year, and that means there are a lot of people setting New Year's resolutions. These are the promises that you tell yourself of the things that you want to accomplish this year. Last year, I did an episode on how to actually keep a New Year's resolution. So, if you want to figure out how to actually stick to a plan and accomplish your New Year's resolution this year, then please check that episode out. But on today's episode, what I want to do is help you go over an actual way to study English so you can get the most out of your study time. This is a method that I have used that I personally recommend to people when they are trying to learn a language. And it's a way that I have found to be effective with your study time. So, if you're interested in learning about how to improve your reading comprehension and your listening comprehension in English in the shortest amount of time, then follow along because we're about to begin. Before we get started, I just want to remind you to look at the description of this podcast episode. There you will find a list of the words and phrases that I use during the episode. That way you can take them and start learning them yourself. Now, a little bit about this method that I do. If you have watched our previous podcast episodes or listened to them, you know that I like Steve Kaufman and Stephen Krashen. There are two people who talk about the input hypothesis and the need for comprehensible input. I will leave an iCard for those episodes, but in general, what we can say is that comprehensible input is either reading or listening to material that you find interesting and that you are able to understand. When you are able to do that, you are better able to acquire whatever language it is that you are studying. That is what I used as the basis for this particular method. And this method that I'm going to go over with you is the method that I personally have used to try to learn Spanish. When I was really, really into studying Spanish, I used a couple different variations, and that's what I want to go over with you today. However, before we get started, there are a couple of things to know that you're going to need if you want to do this method. What you're going to need is you're going to need some type of input. And the input that we're looking for is a book that you can get in English and also in your native language. You need to have the translated version of this book so you're able to better help with your comprehension and your understanding. Now, I did an episode on how to use reading to improve your English learning, so I will leave a link for that. And I also did an episode during Banned Book Week in October, and I gave a list of recommended books that you could read to improve your English. So if you're unsure what you want to read, you might want to check out that episode and get some ideas, get some recommendations if you're interested in those. But I will also leave a link in the description of this episode to a couple different websites that have copyright-free PDF versions of some books. That way, you can try to save some money. You don't have to buy some books. Hopefully, if you can find them on those websites, you can just get the English version or your native language version, and that'll save you some money overall. There's also something called the Gutenberg Project. I will leave that in the description. They do some audiobook versions along with the printed versions of books. And that's the last piece that you're going to need. You're going to need an audio version of whatever book you select in English. Again, I'm not saying that you need to buy anything. You can check out the Gutenberg Project and see if they have it on their site. You can also just search on YouTube. There's a lot of people who do book readings. And if you're able to find a video where someone reads the book that you are interested in, you can just use that. And of course, that's a free resource that you can use. Now, let's talk about the book itself that you're going to select. You want something that's interesting, something that you actually are interested in reading. That way, you are more motivated to do it and you're more likely to actually study it. And you also want something that is close to your level but above it. You do want something to be slightly challenging. You want to be able to learn new vocabulary and new phrases, but you want to be able to understand the story. It's up to you how comfortable you are with not being able to understand. If you want to understand most of the text when you read through it, then you want to pick something that's close to your level. The trade-off with this is that even though you're able to understand most of the story, you might not get exposed to a lot of new vocabulary if you pick this option. The other extreme is to go with a book that is way past your level, that is extremely advanced. And again, the trade-off is in that case, you would get a lot of new vocabulary, but it would be really difficult to get through. You need to be able to figure out where that balance is for you. Look and see what your current level is for English, and then try to figure out what level you want to go with for a book if you want something that's closer to your level or something that might be a little bit more challenging. Either way, I will give you a method that will work for whichever version you decide to go with, something that's a little bit more comprehensible or something that's more challenging. And the last piece of all of this is that you need time to study. I went over this when I went over the New Year's resolution episode last year, but you really need to be able to spend time every day learning English. If your New Year's resolution is to learn English, if your goal for the year is to improve your English, you have to have time to do it every day. You need at least 30 minutes, preferably an hour, every single day. I did do an episode of how to find time and get more time in your day with English, but you need that contact with the language to learn it. If you're only studying once every other week, you are wasting your time. There really is no point at that point. There's no reason to study once every other week. You need to be doing it daily if you actually want to get results. Now, let's talk about these methods. I'm going to give you four different variations. I'm going to tell you the pros and cons for each, why you would select one method versus the other. The first method is for when you have a lower level of English or when you are using an extremely difficult text that is way above your current level. So let's say you are at a beginner stage, maybe an A2 or B1 level of English. You're struggling with what I'm saying in this podcast right now. You need the subtitles and you need to constantly rewind to understand what I'm saying. Then you want to pick this version of this method. Or maybe you have an intermediate level, but you're picking a native level content, something that's very, very challenging, then you would want this method as well. What you do here, you are going to start by reading just one chapter of whatever book you selected in your native language. This means that you can read the book just fine. You understand everything that's going on, all of the characters, the setting, the story. You don't have any problems with that. Then, what you're going to do, you're going to read the same exact chapter, but this time in English. You know the story, so you don't have to slow down when you're reading. What you're going to do is you are just going to read through the chapter. You're not going to stop. You're not going to try to look up every word. Instead, you're just going to try to get through the chapter because you know the story. You know what's going on. You don't need to worry about that part. You're just trying to understand the actual English version. If there is a word or phrase that you don't know, try to think back to what was going on in the story when you read it in your native language. Try to figure out what that particular word or phrase means in English. Use what you already read to apply to what you're reading now and understand intuitively what the English text says. The last part that you're going to do is you're going to listen to that same chapter, this time for a third time, but it's going to be listening to it in English. That way, you are able to get that listening comprehension as well. You get one more reinforcement of all of those English words and phrases that you just read, and you're able to practice your listening comprehension. The benefits of this system is that it is really easy. You're starting off by reading the chapter in your native language. So when you get to the English part, it's really simple. You know the story, so you can just read through the text. That lets you do some extensive reading in English, which means you just read through it without stopping, without needing to look up the meaning of every word, and you're able to just figure out what this new vocabulary means because you already read the story before in your native language. Those are some great benefits. Some of the cons here is that, of course, by reading and listening to the same chapter three times, it does take a little bit more time, and you aren't really pushing yourself as hard as when you read the English version first. Now, we're going to go over that method, don't worry, but this might not be as challenging if you compare it to another version of this particular method. However, you are still being exposed to the language, and it is still a great way to really improve your comprehension. I can say that I did this when I was about a B1, maybe a low B1 in Spanish. I actually picked a native level book. I picked The Shadow of the Wind, or in Spanish, La Sombra del Viento. And it was a really challenging text, obviously. It was a native level text, and I was barely an intermediate level in Spanish. However, my ability to read in Spanish skyrocketed with this method. My level went up so much. I picked a book that I was really interested in. I really wanted to read. I love that book. And just being able to interact with the text and enjoy reading it in Spanish really helped me improve my level. And that's one of the reasons why I recommend this method so much. Now, the second variation has to do with what I talked about in the cons. What you can do for the second variation is actually invert the order that you read in. Instead of reading in your native language first, you're going to read one chapter in English first, and then you're going to read it in your native language. Why would you want to do this? Well, let's say that you're picking a text that is closer to your current level. If you're at an intermediate level, maybe you're picking an intermediate text, or even if you're at an advanced level, you're picking an advanced level text. It's something that's not as challenging for you. That means that you really want to see how much you actually understand the first time around in English. And you want to be able to maybe push yourself a little bit more. You want more of a challenge here. If that is you, if that's the material that you're using, this is a great method to do. What you're going to do is you're going to read through the English version. And again, you want to just get through the chapter. Don't stop to look up every word. Just read through it. Try to understand. Look at the words before a word, look at the words after, and see if you can figure out an unknown word on your own. See if you can do it without having to look it up. Get yourself an idea about what's happening in the story. And then when you read that same chapter in your native language, you can double check and see if you're right or if you were wrong. If you were right and what you thought was happening in the story was what actually happened, then you know your reading comprehension is strong. You know you're doing well, and you can say that you're able to understand most of what you read. If, however, you read it in your native language and you realize, uh-oh, what I thought was happening was not what was happening, then you know you have some gaps and you need to go back and you need to really look up that vocabulary that you got wrong. Those are the words, those are the instances where, that you want to focus on. That's where you want to take those words and phrases into your vocabulary learning system and try to learn them. Just like with the first method, you're going to then listen to the audio version in English to solidify, to try to get exposure to the language one more time and really focus on those words and phrases that maybe you got wrong the first time around when you read it, and just try to learn and absorb as much of the English version as you possibly can. The benefits of this system is that you get to read in English first, and that means that you are challenged a little bit more. And also, you get to check yourself later to see if you understood everything. This is the more difficult option of this method. You are reading in English first, so unlike the first version, you don't know if you got the story completely right or wrong, but you get a check when you read that chapter in your native language and you get to just verify and see where your gaps are. Did you get everything right, or do you need to go back and study more? Do not do this variation if you have a very difficult text. I cannot stress that enough. The reason is that When I first started reading that book in Spanish, and I had a B1 level, but I was reading a native level text, The Shadow of the Wind, I used this particular variation and it was horrible. I spent almost an hour reading one chapter. I didn't understand anything. I was so confused, and it was, I would say, a waste of time. If you are reading and you don't understand a single thing that's going on, you're not getting anything out of it, right? You're just reading gibberish, which is like a made-up language. You're just not understanding what's even happening. And so when I read it in English, I realized I didn't know anything from the story and I was wasting my time. If you are using a higher level text, use the first variation, not this variation. But if you do have something that's closer to your level, if you are really wanting to focus on your reading comprehension, this is a great option. The third variation is when you don't have a lot of time to study. Let's say you only have 30 minutes a day, not a full hour to study English. What you can do is you can combine the reading and listening of the English portion to be at the same time. You can use this with either the first or second variation. You can either read in your native language first or second, but when you do the English reading, you're also going to listen to the audiobook at the same time. The benefit here, like I said, you can combine the reading and listening, so you need a lot less time overall. You're still getting that exposure to the language. You're learning how to pronounce the words. You're seeing how the words are pronounced, or you're hearing how the words are pronounced, I should say. So you're reading the words and you're hearing them pronounced at the same time. That's really great because in English, there's a lot of words that we just say weird. We have some horrible pronunciation for some words. So sometimes you read a word and you don't know how to pronounce it. So reading and listening at the same time gets you that pronunciation. You can hear the intonation, you can hear the stress of the certain syllables. You can see how the speaker is actually saying the word that you're reading. The con here is that you are having to read and listen at the same time. Sometimes it can be a little bit confusing. Personally, sometimes I notice I get lost when someone is speaking maybe faster than I can read, or if I don't know the word that they're saying, sometimes I get a little bit confused of where they are. That's just me personally. I don't know. Maybe you're not like that. Maybe you like listening and reading at the same time, but for me, sometimes that can be a con. Another con is because that you're combining the listening and reading at the same time, you're not giving your brain as many different times of exposure. You're getting less time of exposure overall because you're combining two of the phases into one. So you're not getting as many repetitions of that particular chapter. That might make it a little bit harder to retain. Research has shown the more times you're exposed to something, the easier it is to learn it. So that is one possible con. But if you are short on time, if you don't have the full amount of time to study, this really is a good variation of this method. And the last version is if you really want to focus on your listening comprehension. Let's say that you have really good reading comprehension. You're able to understand most of what you read, but maybe you're not able to understand someone when they're speaking to you. Or maybe you just really want to focus on listening comprehension and being able to understand a native speaker. In that case, what you want to do is you want to listen to the audiobook first. You're going to listen to one chapter of the audiobook in English, and then you can read it in English and then in your native language. The reason for this order is that you need to train your brain to focus and try to understand what it is hearing in English. Just like in real life, when someone is speaking to you, there's no pause, there's no rewind, there's no slowing them down. So you want to train your brain to listen to a native speaker without having to stop. What you're going to do is you're going to listen to the chapter without pressing pause, without rewinding, and you're just going to try to focus and listen and understand as much as possible. Now, this can be challenging. You're not going to be able to understand everything the first time through, but that's okay. You're not trying to understand everything perfectly. You're trying to train your brain to follow a native speaker and try to understand as much as possible. Then you can go and actually read the text in English and in your native language so you can try to understand any missing words and phrases. The benefits here, your listening comprehension is going to change. This is the particular method that I did. I did an entire book in this particular method using this particular method. And before I did that, I had trouble understanding Spanish podcasts for people who are learning Spanish. Podcasts like this, podcasts that were for intermediate learners learning Spanish, I couldn't understand them. I really couldn't. It was really overwhelming, and I didn't know what was happening when I was listening to them. So I just kind of gave up. And what I did is I did this method. I used an entire book in Spanish that was hours of content, hours long for the audiobook. And during that process, what happened was I went from not being able to understand podcasts for Spanish learners to listening to the news every day in Spanish, to then listening to native level podcasts that were produced in Spanish speaking countries for native speakers without a real problem. Yes, there's still some words, some very specific vocabulary that I don't understand, but I'm able to follow along almost anything that I listen to in Spanish. And this variation of this method is the thing that changed that for me. But it's just a great method to really help improve your listening comprehension while still getting all of that language input. The con, just like our other ones, it can be really difficult. When I first did this, I really struggled with the listening comprehension. My level, like I said, was not very good at all. And it was scary. It was challenging. It was difficult. I didn't know if I was going to be able to get through it. But you have to learn to live with the uncomfortable feeling, with the uncomfortableness of the situation. And if you're able to do that, you can really find the opportunity to grow. I hope you enjoyed this podcast episode. I really want this podcast to be a resource for you on your English learning journey, and I hope this podcast gave you something to think about. Hopefully, you can look at whatever resources you want to use, what your goals are for learning English this year, and hopefully, you can combine those and try to figure out what method and what variation would be best for you. Also, tell me if this podcast episode was helpful for you. It's the beginning of the year. We have an entire year of podcasts ahead of us. So, if you want more episodes like this, if you want more tips and strategies on how to improve your English this year, please tell me. Leave a comment and tell me about that so I can start planning what our future episodes are going to look like this year. If this podcast is helping you with your English, if you're just enjoying the podcast overall, please consider leaving us a rating on whatever app you listen to this podcast on. You can also tell a friend, tell a family member, tell someone who is learning English, so that way we can help grow our audience and reach more people. You can also follow us on social media at Learn English Pod. The website is learnenglishpod.com. And remember to like and subscribe so you don't miss our next episode when it comes out next week. Until then, keep learning English.